The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material. This is your source for breaking news
and what to make of it all.
This is the Mike Gallagher Show.
Millions of brave Americans stepped forward and volunteered to serve in the armed forces. You have been a force for good in the world. Nothing that has followed, nothing, can tarnish your honor or diminish your accomplishments.
Some progressives want to stop paying cops, but start paying criminals.
But if they let you do your job, you wouldn't have crime in New York. So I just want to thank you very much.
Now, from the ReliefFactor.com studios, here's Mike Gallagher.
There was an American president who gave a speech over the weekend to commemorate the 20th anniversary of 9/11. It wasn't the 46th president. Biden didn't speak anywhere. Isn't that stunning? Let that sink in. He visited all three sites and didn't say anything. But the 45th president, Donald Trump, spoke before an enthusiastic crowd of New York City firefighters and police officers. What a contrast. It was a reminder of how far we have fallen. The great Miranda Devine in the New York Post writes that very point, that 9/11 memorials this weekend are a reminder of how far we've declined. I mean, it was jarring. Biden didn't make a single speech. As it was, he was heckled when he arrived. Boo, came the voices. You're a mutt for what you did to Afghanistan. Terrible, terrible. Don't sniff the children. Those are the things that people were yelling at Biden. But the president, writes Miranda Devine, who keeps downplaying the enormity of the 9/11 attacks by claiming the January 6th Capitol riot was worse, seemed unchastened. I mean, he didn't give a speech at any of the three places he visited that terrible day when the Islamists struck. He had hoped to crow about being the only president with the fortitude to end the so-called forever war, but no such luck. With the troop withdrawal being a debacle, silence was his only option. They don't let this guy speak, if possible. When President Trump visited a firehouse in Midtown, he got cheers like from an old friend. He asked rhetorically why Biden didn't give a speech. The firefighters had a few suggestions. No teleprompter was probably the most polite and probably the only thing I can say on air. Here was former President Trump among some of New York's bravest.
If they would let you do your job with guys like this, if they would let you do your job, you would have it cleaned up. And don't nod, because if you do nod, you'll get in trouble, okay? I want you to so just stand and just be perfect. Don't nod. But if they let you do your job, you wouldn't have crime in New York. You wouldn't have crime in New York. So I just want to thank you very much. You are incredible people. I want to thank you for that endorsement. That endorsement meant so much. Now, in all fairness, I don't think any police department anywhere endorsed the other guy. I think I get 90. I must have gotten close to 100% of the vote. I think close to 100%. There are a couple of strays everywhere. We're trying to figure out who they are, right? But we got the military. We did great with the military. We did incredible with police and fire. So I just want to thank you all. Yes, please.
One more question, Mr. President. If you decide not to run for president, if you decide not to, would you consider running for mayor of New York City?
Well, that's an interesting question. I would love that. I tell you, we could straighten it. I'd say, fellas, good luck. Go to town. They'd be announcing in 1 week, there's no crime in this. There's no crime. What the hell happened? I said, that was the easiest job I've ever... That would be such an easy job. But I appreciate that question. That's cool. If I give you even a positive, a little like jokingly, they'll say, Trump's running for mayor.
Now compare that. A joyful reception, a bunch of New York firefighters. The men and women paid to run into burning buildings and save lives. The kind of people who were killed 20 years ago on September 11th. The kind of people with that, the strength, the bravery, the fortitude, the guts. And they love Donald Trump. Not so much for Joe Biden, apparently. Here's a little bit of what it sounded like on one of his stops, where, again, he was silent, didn't say a single word, just showed up, bowed his head, stumbled around, got back on a plane, and went to the other site. Never spoke, but the people spoke.
You're a mutt for what you did to Afghanistan. Terrible.
Don't sniff them.
Terrible.
Don't sniff them.
And of course, hysterically, Biden, Mr. Mask Man, pulling his mask down as he's greeting children. There's a picture of Biden posing with a bunch of kids who have Trump hats on. How humiliating. With his mask down around his chin. Hey, Sleepy Joe, the mask don't work under your chin, right? You wear your mask all the time. It's all performance art. It's just performative. That's why he takes the mask off when he's standing. Maybe he wants to put the kid with the Trump hat in at risk. Super spreader. The one kid has a Make America Great Again hat on. If you're watching the stream today at MikeOnline.com, you haven't seen these pictures, they're hysterical. There's a bunch of angles. I thought they were Photoshopped. No, these are actual children he's posing with Trump hats on. And he apparently complained, according to Miranda Devine, at one of the stops about the booze he got. And he said, because people were yelling, F Biden. F Biden. And so Biden said, I'm thinking of, the people who died. What would they be thinking? That this makes sense to be in this kind of thing where you ride down the street and somebody says F so-and-so, it's not who we are. Miranda Devine says who? What does he expect when he harangues Americans and demonizes those who didn't vote for him, running roughshod over the Constitution like a tin pot dictator? What does he expect when he ran as the unity president and then has done nothing but divide us into warring tribes, race against race, state against state, vaccinated against unvaccinated? Biden thundered last week in his vaccine mandate speech, our patience is wearing thin. Your patience is wearing thin? Really? Miranda Devine says he has a hide to lecture anyone. As the incompetence of his presidency piles tragedy upon humiliation from Afghanistan to the southern border, he should be begging for forgiveness, not angrily berating us from the White House. Miranda Devine says, if F. Biden was a meme before his killjoy speech, it thereafter became the anthem of a generation whose patience really has worn thin, especially the younger generation. After their lives were curtailed for 18 months by a virus that barely touches them, after their sacrifices in war were squandered, and the promise of adult government collapsed in ruins around Biden's feet. F. Joe Biden was the chorus at the Yankees-Mets game Saturday night as well. Thunderous chants, F. Joe Biden. And again, they're not saying F. Miranda Devine writes in the New York Post in a column that we're posting at MikeOnline.com, it's crude, it's rude, but it's a message the White House ought to heed if the country is to get back on track. Miranda Devine concludes by saying, then again, maybe Biden is in charge. Maybe the people in his administration are ciphers who obey his orders, and he is resistant to advice he doesn't like. If that dawning realization proves correct, then we are all helpless passengers as he steers us over a cliff. Wow. Scathing article by Miranda Devine in the New York Post that I wanted to share with you here in the ReliefFactor.com studios. Which is it? Are we helpless passengers being steered off the cliff by a buffoon who is berated at the stops he made silently at the three stops? Or are we okay? 1-800-655-MIKE. How bad is it? Let me get your perspective here in the ReliefFactor.com studios. How bad is it? How bad are we right now under the leadership of Joe Biden? And as you see President Trump at the firefighters, at the precinct there at the firehouse, with lots of love and joy and cheers and support. Wait a minute, I thought the smart kids said Trump was going to be shunned in New York City. He wouldn't be able to go anywhere. Ivanka, they were all going to be shunned. That's what Vanity Fair said. That's what the smart kids have told us. Well, I saw a guy named Donald Trump getting a whole lot of love in New York City this weekend as we commemorated that fateful day 20 years ago. Let's get your voice front and center here on a Monday episode of the Mike Gallagher Show. 1-800-655-MIKE. We have an open line waiting just for you. 800-655-6453. Join us.
Want to support the Mike Gallagher Show? Be sure to patronize our great advertisers.
I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend, but I always thought that I'd see you again.
I'll bet you've seen Pete and Seth Talbot on the TV, the father and son owners of Relief Factor. Boy, are they great guys. They have a heart for the hurting. They just want to get you out of pain. They also do a whole lot of things behind the scenes that you'll never hear of. In fact, let me share with you a little secret. The 1995 quick start that I always tell you about, where you could try the product, the 100% drug-free Relief Factor for 3 weeks for $19.95, they lose money on that deal. But they know you're probably going to keep ordering because it does work, and they want to prove it to you. Relief Factor is made from wild-caught fish oils and botanicals. It goes to work on the inflammation that causes back pain or neck pain or hip pain, pain from a workout at the gym. I want you to try. Go to ReliefFactor.com. If it doesn't work, you notify them after 3 weeks, and you're out $20. But if it does, consider what life could be like. It could be like pain-free. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384 for Relief Factor.
Mike Gallagher.
Mike, you're absolutely right. That pick of Trump with the FDNY and all the, you know, the people there just smiling and happy, seeing a real president. I blame Mr. Clyburn from South Carolina for this, an atrocity. Thank you, Mike.
I was at Shanksville on 9/11 this year. There was a lot of F. Biden flags flying everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, the dogs don't like the food. And there's a lot of up. And I love these clowns who pretend that we need unity now. Yeah, how about De Niro? Did you hear about Robert De Niro? Robert De Niro is going to talk about unity. Remember big tough guy Robert De Niro? He was going to punch Trump in the face, and he was going to F the Trump supporters and all the crude, disgusting things that De Niro said. Big dummy, you know, who's famous and rich because he, you know, is a talented actor. Because he portrays other people, puts makeup on, and walks around the set. He's a great actor, but he couldn't stick to acting. And denounced Trump repeatedly in the worst, most vile, violent terms. Now he wants unity?
We have to find a way to move forward as far as the animosity, to say it mildly, towards each other and cultures and so on, and even what we're going through today in this country. We have to find a way to stop I don't know, a better way of saying than fighting and just having things like this happen. It just makes no sense.
Are you kidding me? You know, there are tapes. Do we have the receipts? You want me to play some clips of De Niro threatening to physically assault Trump during his presidency? Denouncing half the country? Oh, now you're going to be unified, Mr. Tough Guy, Mr. De Niro? What a jerk. What a world-class jerk. And there were jerks over at MSNBC, too. How about the MSNBC guest, somebody named Daisy Khan? While most of us were thinking about the thousands of victims of 9/11 and despising the evil that came to our land that terrible day, listen to what they were complaining about on MSNBC.
You know, I cannot imagine that 20 years later, reflecting back on this terrible tragedy that happened in New York, that, you know, 90 nationalities died, and among them were 60 Muslims. But the impact of 9/11 has disproportionately affected the American Muslims and Muslims abroad.
It's on national TV. National TV. The impact of 9/11 has disproportionately affected the Muslim community. Great. MSNBC being MSNBC. CNN being CNN. What about Newsmax? They had a decidedly different tone, thank God. I spent a lot of time watching Newsmax over the weekend. I watched the guy that we're about to be joined by as well, quite often. Sean Spicer joins us next. You see it at the pump, the grocery store, and construction costs. Another month of the highest inflation since 2008. Another month where that paper money you're carrying around is worthless. What's your plan to protect your savings? You have homeowners insurance in case of a fire. What insurance do you have in place if inflation sets in further and pushes prices even higher? Well, my insurance plan is gold and silver from the Birch Gold Group. If you haven't reached out to Birch Gold to diversify your IRA or 401k into a precious metals IRA, you need to do it today. Text Mike to 474747. We'll send you a free info kit on protecting your savings with gold. They've got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, tons of five-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. I'm one of them. Talk to them. Have them help you safeguard your retirement savings. Text Mike to 474747 to claim your free no-obligation info kit on holding gold and silver in a tax-sheltered account. Text Mike to 474747. Take the first step in protecting your savings today.
Stayed in bed all morning just to pass the time.
Mike Gallagher.
Portions of our show are brought to you by Fellowship Home Loans. Call 800-510-MIKE or go to fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG. Welcome home, Fellowship Home Loans. For millions of people, going to Newsmax is a nice welcome home after the insanity, after the garbage that you hear on networks like MSNBC. And that guest we played just a moment ago saying that the impact of 9/11 has disproportionately affected American Muslims and Muslims abroad. I don't think you're going to hear that kind of garbage on Newsmax. Sean Spicer is a host at Newsmax Media, of course. He served as the 30th White House press secretary and White House communications director under President Trump, and he joins us on our guest line. Sean, it's been a while. Welcome back to the show. How have you been?
It's been a while. It's good to hear from you again. I've been great.
I know you have. I know.
It's been what a ride on Newsmax. Every night at 6, it's fun. It's been great watching the audience grow as people tune into us, learn about us, and get excited about how we do it exactly as you described. A little different. We don't cover the topics that MSNBC and all those other guys are going to do it, but we make it, we give people a very different perspective in a way that I think you're not going to get anywhere. I mean, just think about it. I've been in those seats. I was the White House press secretary on Capitol Hill, all these places, so that when I give you a perspective, it's not just pontificating. It's actually saying this is what happened in those situations.
Well, it's a tough role, and I try to remember when I criticize, I call her Circle Back Jen, because she does a whole lot of circling back. Over the weekend, there was a press event where she said literally to Peter Ducey that illegals won't be tested or vaccines won't be given, rather, to illegals, but certainly it's mandated for American workers. That's the kind of stuff that a press secretary finds themselves sort of in the middle of. You were soundly criticized. You took it, I thought, with grace and with dignity, but boy, they came at you like they came after everybody. And oh, how the tide has turned, because, Sean, look at this past weekend commemorating 9/11. President Biden goes to all three sites, doesn't say a word, doesn't speak at any of them. He's booed lustily at those three stops. I'm sorry to report that F. Joe Biden was seen and heard often. In fact, at the Yankees-Mets game, F. Joe Biden was thundering throughout the stadium. But there was President Trump visiting a fire station in New York, greeted with joy, with love, with affection by the brave first responders who we were commemorating on this 20th anniversary. It feels like the tide, at least to me, the tide has really turned rather rapidly. Do you agree?
Well, let me put my own spin on this, because I think that a couple things. Number one, it was, to your point, I was watching this coverage and it was like all these politicians went and spoke. Biden didn't speak, but they all went, and that's fine. I mean, everybody, look, I've said this before, Mike, I don't judge anyone in terms of how they honor people or pray or serve the country. I mean, everyone's got their own shtick, and so I don't think it's fair to judge somebody. But Trump goes and, like, gets in with these firefighters and police officers. He's there, you know, high-fiving them and listening to their stories and telling them how much he appreciates them. And somehow that's the wrong thing to do, which I just blows my mind, because I'm thinking, I'm not going to criticize other people, but if there's one thing that I think those firefighters, first responders, police officers need right now, it's a leader that comes in and says, hey, I want to look you in the eye. I want to tell you about how much I appreciate your sacrifice, your service, the idea that what you've gone through over these last 20 years. I mean, so I just – but here's where I would sort of nuance the difference. When I walked into that press briefing room almost every day, I felt like I was walking into – the lion's den. These guys were coming at me. There wasn't one, maybe one or two that were coming at me with fair questions. And the funny thing is, the conservative media in many cases was harder than the liberal media, because they demanded that President Trump stand up to what he'd campaigned on, and rightly so. They did ask it in a much more respectful way. But what Jen Psaki's walking into is like a group of kittens every day that are there to transcribe what she says. So the difference is that the tide doesn't turn. It's just almost stopped. Like they get to go in, and whatever Jen says, they transcribe. So she makes these comments and no one pushes back. No one says anything. She gets she said from the podium that we would never have vaccine mandates. That clearly isn't true. No one asks her, why did she lie back a few months ago? I mean, there is an unbelievable double standard. She gets there. She gets to say whatever she wants with impunity. And it just shows you what a horrible, horrible press corps exists in there. And I think it's a sad state. All that does is tell you exactly where democracy is. The idea that Peter Ducey is the only one, it's like, oh my God. And first of all, Peter asked respectful, civil questions. She won't even call on our own Emeril Robinson, who's one of two White House correspondents that we have with John Gizzi. She won't even call on people. I did that all the time. I called on anybody. She won't. And then they all do these stories. Oh my God, the confrontation she had with Peter Ducey. Peter Ducey will sit there and say, Jen, can you explain when you said this and then yesterday she said that? And they go, oh my God, look how tough he's being on her.
It's unreal. I mean, and Sean, I think of you often. I think of Sarah Huckabee. I think of Kayleigh McEnany, who got shrieked at. I mean, it was like a pack of jackals just trying to attack. It was like the hyenas circling the cougar trying to attack. And like you said, other than Peter Ducey, it's like a tea party. We could spend all day on the ridiculousness of the behavior of today's American news media. But I want to talk about your book, because I cannot wait to crack it open. Radical Nation, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's Dangerous Plan for America, authored by our guest, Sean Spicer, who's host of Spicer & Company on Newsmax. And Sean, there is a real nefarious agenda underway. We're seeing small business owners their backs are being broken by these horrific policies. We've got a country in turmoil. Talk a little bit about what you lay out in your book coming out next month, Radical Nation.
Okay, so Mike, you put your finger on it, but here's the thing. The people that are surrounding Joe Biden, both the cabinet, the people that were confirmed by the Senate and those that weren't, people like Susan Rice and folks at the State Department who have lower level positions, and the policies they're pursuing have gone so far under the radar. And that goes back to what I was just saying again, when you have, you know, a complicit media. But these people, you know, I got booted, or Joe Biden wants to kick me off the board of the U.S. Naval Academy, and they cited qualifications. Okay, I have an entire chapter on there on the qualifications of the people around Joe Biden, or rather the lack thereof. Look at Susan Rice. Her entire background is in foreign policy, yet they chose her to lead the Domestic Policy Council. Why? Because they couldn't get her confirmed. Look at Dennis McDonough. He's now heading the Department of Veterans Affairs. Is he a veteran? No. Is he a healthcare provider? No. Has he ever served on a veterans board or organization? No. What was he? Obama's chief of staff. He wasn't qualified for that job. But so people, when you read Radical Nation, you're going to understand this administration, and that concludes Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, Frank Biden, his brother, in a way that you have never before. But the bigger point about this, Mike, and this is important for everyone in your audience, is I explain what I like to call the why. Why are they trying to make D.C. a state? Why are they trying to pack the courts? Why aren't they stopping people over the southern border? And it's all in pursuit of a permanent Democratic majority. That's it. And once you understand that, you get it. Because I hear so many conservatives saying, Kamala Harris isn't doing her job when it comes to protecting the border. Yes, she is. If you understand the why is that she's not trying. She doesn't want to stop or stem illegal immigration. They want people to come in. They could easily stop it under President Trump.
And Sean, they're such liars. I mean, this whole righteous indignation over the vaccine mandates. I mean, the reason they don't want Kamala Harris to speak, and they keep her practically, you know, in her bunker, is because of things like this.
But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
I mean, I play that clip over and over again.
Mike, you are not allowed to play that anymore. You know that you're going to get banned or
canceled.
I don't know how is that a bootleg copy?
No kidding. You're not hearing that on MSNBC, are you?
No.
I mean, but
the thing, again, it goes back to this point. You make this all the time. But here's the deal. Why isn't anyone in the press corps saying, excuse me, you said you wouldn't trust it, and now they're going, oh, it's all the Trump voters. Really?
Well, Chris Christie said it. In fact, he said it to George Stephanopoulos. I thought, and George looked stricken, and as well as the guest, whose name I don't know who she is, but the two of them were looking at Chris Christie like he had just escaped from the asylum when he said this. And it was, to your point, it's complete truth.
Let's remember that the politicization of these vaccines started back in the presidential campaign. It was started by Vice President Harris, you know, who said that I will not take a vaccine that's approved by Trump or by Trump's regulators. That put this in a totally different area that allowed it to be politicized, and that politicization is continuing now.
He's right. Sean, it's exactly 100% true. You can't dispute that. No one can dispute that.
But that's why they don't want him saying it and you playing it are the only places outside of that and maybe on Newsmax that you're going to hear it.
Because
they want to hide that from you. They don't want you to know. I mean, think about it. Biden said in December, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to have a vaccine mandate. It's not the role of the federal government.
Right.
I'm not going to have a mask mandate. And then he does it and they all go, okay, hide the clip.
Right. I know. Sean Spicer's book, Radical Nation, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's Dangerous Plan for America, out in a few weeks. You need to get it. Sean, I appreciate you taking time. Before you leave, I got to ask you, you worked with the guy closely. You know him. You respect him. You appreciate him like millions of us do. There are all kinds of polls coming out. Should Trump run? Will he run? What role will he play in 2024? Let me ask Sean Spicer, is Donald Trump going to run for president in 2024?
One, he will run. Two, he will be the nominee. And three, he will win. I'm going to have him on my show tomorrow on Newsmax at 6 o'clock. I spoke to him last week twice. I'll ask him again tomorrow. But I think he is.
There you go. Sean Spicer, don't miss it tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Eastern. President Trump with Sean Spicer. Sean, great hearing your voice again. Nice catching up. Come back again. Good luck with the book and keep fighting the good fight, my friend.
Always, and thank you, Mike Gallagher. I always appreciate the opportunity to be with you.
All the best. Thank you, Sean. Sean Spicer saying, one, Trump will win. First, he will be the nominee. He will only get it in the right order. One, he will run. Two, he will be the nominee. And three, he will win. You think that's right? Is that correct? Do you think Sean Spicer's predict? There's a poll out that says most Republican voters want Trump to play a leadership role going forward, continuing a leadership role in the Republican Party. But supposedly, according to the CNN poll, Republican voters are equally divided as to whether he should be the nominee in 2024. After I just can't get this stark difference between these two appearances over the weekend out of my head. Biden being booed and heckled silent at the three visits he paid. Trump being met with love and warmth and joy at a New York City fire station, which was the whole point of the 9/11 commemoration in many ways. Will he run? Should he run? Should he be the nominee in 2024? I want to get your take on this because I'm really intrigued by what our listeners think about the idea of Trump as the nominee in 2024. I'm with Sean Spicer. I think he will, and if he does, he wins. Am I wrong? Make the case. 1-800-655-MIKE. We have an open line for you here in the ReliefFactor.com studios. 800-655-6453.
Celebrating Mike Gallagher's 23 years of radio coast to coast. We're so grateful for your support over the years. And the best is yet to come.
She wasn't much good at sticking around, but that girl.
Hear the latest reporting and analysis on the big stories of the day on the Daybreak Insider podcast. It's top-notch reporting from SRN News, along with the sharpest insight from Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, Sebastian Gorka, and the voices of townhall.com. The Daybreak Insider podcast. It's your first look at today's top stories. Available at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and at salempodcastnetwork.com.
Just wanting to say that Robert De Niro never had talent. He's always been politically correct, nothing more, nothing less. That's how all leftists are. And they ruin everything they touch, including Hollywood. Have a great day, Mike. Thanks for everything you do.
Well, thank you. Yeah, here's good old Robert De Niro over the weekend on CNN with Jake Tapper.
We have to find a way to move forward as far as the animosity, to say it mildly, towards each other and cultures and so on, and even what we're going through today in this country, we have to find a way to stop the, I don't know, a better way of saying than fighting and just having things like this happen. It just makes no sense.
You've got to be kidding me. This is the same guy who said this a few years ago.
He's a punk. He's a dog. He's a pig. He's a con, a bullshit artist, a mutt who doesn't know what he's talking about, doesn't do his homework, doesn't care, thinks he's gaming society, doesn't pay his taxes. He's an idiot. Colin Powell said it best. He's a national disaster. He's an embarrassment to this country. It makes me so angry that this country has gotten to this point, that this fool, this bozo, has wound up where he has. He talks how he wants to punch people in the face. Well, I'd like to punch him in the face. This is somebody that we want for president? I don't think so. What I care about is the direction of this country. And what I'm very, very worried about is that it might go in the wrong direction with someone like Donald.
We have to find a way to move forward as far as the animosity, to say it mildly towards each other and cultures and so on, and even what we're going through today in this country, we have to find a way to stop the, I don't know, a better way of saying than fighting. Having things like this happen.
All you can do is just laugh at a clown like Robert De Niro. Just laugh. I mean, what a clown. He's a mutt. I'm going to punch him in the face. We got to be unified. Yeah, great. You know why? You know why they're acting this way? Because they're scared. Because the American people are very unhappy right now. They're afraid of people like Larry Elder. I don't know what's going to happen this week. This is election day. This is our election week, rather, in California. The polls suggest Gavin Newsom is going to win. The polls suggested Hillary was going to win, too, despite all the efforts of people like the great Robert De Niro, who now wants unity. Yeah, nice try. Too little, too late, pal. The hypocrisy just oozes from the pores of people like Robert De Niro. Because, again, when Robert De Niro and the rest of them attack Trump so viciously, they weren't attacking Trump. They were attacking you and me. They were attacking millions of fellow Americans. Portions of our show are brought to you by Cry Macho. Great movie by Clint Eastwood, the legendary director. Eastwood returns as a one-time rodeo star and washed-up horse breeder who takes a job to bring back a man's young son home from Mexico. The unlikely pair face an unexpectedly challenging journey. The only road home is through redemption. It's called Cry Macho. It opens this Friday. See it in theaters and on HBO Max for 31 days, rated PG-13. Cry Macho. I promise we're going to get to your calls as to whether or not you think Trump should run or not in 2024. Everybody apparently thinks he should. We should do maybe a poll at MikeOnline.com. We'll put together one of those polls. Also coming up, a conversation about big tech and artificial intelligence, a real important conversation that you need to hear. That's all ahead.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.